Ron Archer was his name.
Amen.
He's that guy, I tell you. Just a, I said, when I did his funeral, I said, there was a man sent from God whose name was Ron. And that was true for me. If you know your Bible, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. But for me, it was Ron. And man, what a blessing. He got mad at me 2 times, though, in all the years I pastored him. And it's 2 times I didn't do what he wanted me to do. And that's what a administrator does. Administrator, they get it figured out, and it makes 100% sense. They're the guys that are the thinkers, the mind. And sometimes pastors have to walk by faith, and not by sight. Bible says that obey them that have the ruler over you, whose faith follow. So sometimes you have to follow your pastor by faith. Administrators, it's kind of hard. They follow the figures, okay? Hey, pastor, there is no way we can do this. And so, pastor, that's why it's good to know these. And you'll have some guys saying, it doesn't add up. Well, 5 loaves and 2 fish don't add up either. Right. And walking on water don't add up either. And a guy dying so you can live forever, that don't add up either.
Amen.
Nothing much in the Bible that you think of humanly, but God said, my thoughts are not your thoughts.
Yeah.
My ways are not your ways. As high as the heaven is above the earth, so are my thoughts above your thoughts. And my ways is above.
Yeah.
He said, you see how far those stars is? That's how far I'm thinking past you. I had to tell my kids that. My boys, I say, look, son, I'm thinking past you. Now they're old enough, they know what that means. You guys know what I mean by that?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but Dad, they want to stand there. They get about 18. I always think God does that in purpose because it's get you where you want to say, son, it's time for you to leave. Now, they're good boys. But when you took 2 men and you put them, I don't want my boys to be yes men. They put two men in the same house. Sometimes you can get a little bit fussy there. And so God almost makes it where you say, son, I never did kick my sons out, but there was sometimes I felt like it. Because we'd be butting heads. And I'd say, son, I am thinking way, I know what you're saying. I understand that, but I'm thinking past that. And that's how God does for you and I. And that's what an administrator does. They sometimes think past what you're thinking. Let's look at that handout real quick. The Spirit-given ability to serve God by arranging, promoting, and administering. Arranging, promoting, and administering the goals of a local church. Now again, I am not elder. We're not elder ruled at our church. I believe they had plural elders, but they only had one head. James said, my sentence is, the elders and everybody came together and they gave their opinion and I get my guy's opinion. That's why I believe that it's good for me to know what my guy's gifts are. And I'll say, fellas, here's what we need to do. What do you want to do? What do you think we should do? And so different guys will say, well, here's what we ought to do. I think we ought to do this. And somebody says, well, I don't know if that'll work. I don't know on this if that will. And so, but you know what? I'm going to make the call. You can't have 2 steering wheels in your car. You can't do that. I don't know if I told this before. My wife, when I was one time she was driving, we used to travel a lot and sing and preach. And I took a nap and I had my feet up. I was sleeping on the other side of the van. We just put a brand new windshield in. And we put in the church van. And I had my feet up on the window. And my wife hit the brakes on something. She's not a bad driver, but you know, I like to be in control. And so when she was there, she hit the brakes and so did I. Right through the window. I broke the window with my feet. You can't have 2 people breaking. Only 1 person needs to be breaking. You can have 2 people staring. You don't have 1 head. In a local church, it should be your pastor. I'm not a dictator. You know the best rulers are the people, the best administrators are the ones that don't want to. Jack House said that years ago. Evil men push their way to he said they kind of drift to the top. You know Yale and Harvard and all them used to be Bible colleges?
Yeah.
You ought to read the early statements of Yale, I think it was, or Harvard. Their number one goal was to see that every one of their students came to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. They're cesspools now. What happened? Evil men gravitate to the top. Moody Bible Institute. Evil men gravitate to the top. You have some, God blesses men, not machines.
Yeah.
He blesses men. When God wants something done, he said, I sought for a man, not a committee.
Yeah, amen.
Administrators need to realize that. God is a pastor, so I don't like it. So what? He's doing that for you. He's saying because he says one day there'll be 1 man. There he is. Behold, the Lamb of God. That's why all the sacrifices didn't wash away sin. He's trying to get you to realize they're all the picture of the one. There it is. There's the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin, the perfect sacrifice. So that's why even in a church, he has one man run the church. Obey them that have the rule over you, who've spoken to you the word of God. He says, salute them, show them respect. But it's hard sometimes for an administrator to do that. I'm jumping ahead, but that's kind of the Achilles heel. Look at it. The ability to encourage others. There's the next line. Encourage others to undertake and complete a common mission through organization. And I'm glad I've got a fellow in the church that can do that really, really good. Number one, the message for the administrator, he that ruleth with diligence. Jump down a little bit. Rule is the Greek word. Well, I don't even try to pronounce that. It takes me too long to figure it out. To stand before, to preside, to practice, to maintain, to be over. So I don't have a problem with some guy saying, hey, you take this position. They had elders in a church of Jerusalem, but man, some people figure they're running 100,000 people. You got a pastor over the church, you got one of the guys under him, maybe he might be the guy in charge of the bus route. This guy's in charge of the deaf ministry. This guy's in charge of the nursing home. This guy's in charge of the junior church. This guy's in charge of the music. This guy's in charge of the sound system. Man, I mean, the new church of Jerusalem had 3,000 additions in one day. And then they had several thousand in the next chapter. Had 4,000. Then it even says they started adding multitudes. Multitudes were added to the church daily. Some people figure the church in Jerusalem numbered at least 100,000 people. You're going to have quite a few leaders in different positions. Amen. But James said, my sentence is, here's what I believe we should do. And he wasn't a dictator. It said the same pleased the whole multitude. I don't force our people to do what I say. I try to take everything into consideration. If somebody says, well, it's got a problem here, sometimes I'll say, well, let's just wait on that. I'm not trying to bully my way through. The best ruler is somebody who really doesn't want it. If you look at verse 3, everybody God called to place the leadership said, I don't really want it. Moses, go down there and deliver the children. He says, oh, I can't do it. Jeremiah, I've called you to be a prophet of the nation. I'm but a child. God says, say not you're a child. Don't you say that again. Isaiah, I cannot speak. Woe is me. I'm an unclean. I can't do it. Gideon, I can't do it. I'm the least of my father's house. David, man, he was anointed 3 times to be king. He wasn't pushing. The best person to put in charge of somebody is a guy who doesn't want it. I like the saying, if you want something done, find somebody who doesn't have time to do it because they'll make time. Nick took that as a challenge as a young man. If you want something done, find somebody who doesn't have the time. Somebody's got the time, they're not going to do it. They're probably lazy. Somebody who's busy will get it done. Amen. I almost banished for my kids, especially my boys, I can't. Yeah. I can't. I don't like that word, that phrase. I'll say, there's got to be a way. Dad, the computer, it just won't do that. I'll say, I don't believe that. There's got to be a way. Look, and you say, does it 9 times out of 10, if God wants it, there'll be a way. You can walk on water. I'd rather step out in faith on some things. It's hard for an administrator to do. There's sometimes a pastor has to step out in faith and say, if this is what God wants. I look back at even what God's allowed my family to have in home or something like that. I'm stunned by it. I don't know how we did it. I look back and say, how in the world did we pay for that? I don't know. I look back and say, man, we one time, and this was years ago, we had $21,000 on a credit card. Now they say, well, that's nothing today. Well, it was 20, 30 years ago. I don't know how my wife had ever paid that off. I don't look back and say, we weren't making enough money to pay our bills. How did I get paid off? I don't remember. But I just know God did it. Administrator needs to struggle. He'd struggle. Letter A, bless them which persecute you. That word blessed is eulogia. I like the words. Eulogy. When you have a funeral, you give a eulogy. Do you talk bad? You pastors, you're going to give the eulogy at the funeral. This guy was no good. This guy was a freeloader. He abused his children. He was mean to his wife. That's not a eulogy. You say, this guy had his problems, but don't we all? Thus, the word bless is eulogia. It means to speak well of, to bless, to praise. I had a preacher come to our church years ago, and he said, isn't it funny? You know, when the Bible talks about curses, and I'm not trying to get off here, but cursing, sometimes God takes your word for it. Jacob said, whoever you find the idols with, let them die. You know what happened to Rachel who had the idol? She died. The Bible says while there was yet a short way from home, she was 10 miles from home, she died. I think God might have cursed, took that curse on, said, okay, she died, she's dead then. People cuss and curse everything. And we wonder, does God sometimes take our word? How about if we bless things more?
Yes.
I mean each other, say, God bless you. Is that just a little rabbit's foot amen in Jesus' name you put on there? Or do you really stop and think, I pray God will bless you. I pray God would honor you, would help you, would guide you. We don't speak enough blessings. We'll see that here in a minute. Bless them which persecute you, which pursue you is what it means. Bless and curse not, revile not. Administrators are often the target of criticism. You know why? Because they're leading. Moses, you're a target. You left us out in the wilderness to die. Well, there's no graves in Egypt. You had to come out here and find a cemetery plot. Samuel, negative, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Administrators need to do that. Do your best. Try to get along with people. Sometimes you're the target. Sometimes, and that's what's good about a godly administrator. They don't care what anybody else says. I've got some. I've had them. I had one. I got one now. If I want something done, he don't care whatever anybody else says. He will do it. He's going to do it. And if somebody might criticize him, he'll take the heat for it. That's what you want. He says, if it be possible, as much as lieth within you. That means sometimes you can't live peaceably with all men. Some things are worth fighting for.
Yes.
But do your best. Try to get along. It's easy to use this position to draw others to your view and oppose any adversaries. I put that in quotes because it might be the pastor and he's not your adversary. Next line below that. The administrator gift is a maintenance department of his organization. The devil's design, I put down, is this the man who smote the people in wrath? Listen to this. With a continual stroke, he that ruled the nations in anger. The devil's goal is to rule. But he wants to rule in the nations in anger. You ever stop and think about the devil? What in the world is he doing? I'm not trying to be silly here. I mean, it's crazy. Why in the world are you trying to fight the eternal God? What's God? Is he that crazy? Seriously, is he nuts? Could be. I said, it reminds me of a rebellious teenage boy that thinks he knows more than his dad. Serious. Uh-oh. Teenage boy said, oh, that ain't going to happen to me. That's how the devil is. See, they're demons listening to me right now. And they know they're doomed, but you know what? They're like a rebellious teenager. Ah, that ain't going to happen.
Uh-oh.
That ain't going to happen to me. We're going to win this thing. How does the devil even function? I said, can you imagine the fighting that goes among the demons and the devils? Got to be chaos. Slitting each other's throat. Man, I think you finally say, this is more than I want to handle. It says he ruled the nations in anger. He rules, but it's with wrath. It's with anger. Don't let that happen. Dads, don't be a grump. I have to preach against that on dads. Sometimes you're just an old sourpuss. You're an old sorehead. No, no wonder your kids don't. Now again, my dad was a good man, but he had some problems just like us, like me. We used to hide from him because he always worked, man. Buddies, they said, we're not going out the Wrights's. Their dad will work you. He'd have buck and bales. I had my buddies come out. Then they'd buck bales or we'd be cutting wood. My buddies, they didn't want that. He's a good man, though. But I'm telling you, we didn't like being around him. And all he meant was work. Work, 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 work. Do people like to be around you, Dad? Do your kids like you? Man, you want kids... I give our kids candy at the church. I notice our kids are scared of me. And I don't know why. I used to go to Bible college. I used to wear Packer boots, and they're real pointed. And the kids down there, they like my daughters, but they don't say, well, you're scared of your dad in them boots. They don't know. I said, you tell them I'm going to kick them. They get out of line. But I'll give them candy because I want the kids to like me. You know, children like Jesus. They like to hang around. My preacher, 90 years old, I can still picture him right now. He'd throw his head back and laugh. He'd have maybe a kid on his knee. One of my brother, we were like his children and grandchildren. He's 90 years old. And he's the one, I've told you this. And it'd be a building, and you couldn't even hear because there's so many families and kids. And he'd say, "Let the children cry." And I'd think, "Shut the kids up." At 90, he wasn't old grump. He had the joy of the Lord. Are you an old grumpy ruler, Dad? Get over that. Make it where your kids like being with you.
Amen.
Do fun things with them. Every time we'd travel with my kids, they still talk about it. We'd always find stuff to do. We'd stop and see the Grand Canyon, or I'd go stop and see the biggest ball of twine, and or, you know, whatever, you know. Look there. The motivation for administration, God, you know He rules. He shall reign forever and ever. Won't talk about this, but oh, so many verses on God ruling. He does rule. Jesus is the ruler. Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though there'll be little among the thousands of Judea, yet out of these shall He come. He that shall be ruler of Israel, whose goings forth are of old, even forever everlasting. Of course, He shall reign forever and ever. Christ is a ruler. I like seeing that. When I started studying the gifts, hey, God does this. Jesus does this. Jesus is all of the apostles. He's an apostle. He's a prophet. He's a bishop. He's a pastor. He does all these things. All of us are to practice ruling. Man, Proverbs is filled with how you and I ought to rule our own spirit. The Bible says if you don't rule your own spirit, you're like a city without walls. Man, can you imagine back in the old days? How far is Chinle from here? 38 miles? Can you imagine we're Jews and the Philistines live right at Pinyon, and they might come down tomorrow when you go to work, and they might come down here and capture your wife and daughters and burn your house to the ground. That's how those people had to live, just over the hill. They could come any day, come kill, rape, pillage. They put up walls. And God said, if you don't know how to rule your spirit, you are in as much danger as a city without walls. You just look at those verses. I don't have them in there for filler. You ought to look at them. Business owners are to rule. Who is a faithful and wise steward whom the Lord shall make ruler over his household? Deacons, not only preachers, but deacons are to rule their children. Pastors are to rule in the church. Authority in your life. There ought to be authorities. I don't make fun of the police. My son-in-law, Gabe, in our church. He's a state trooper. I never have enjoyed getting a ticket, but I'm glad for the police. I'm glad that we have laws. I'm glad when I drive on the right side of the road, the semi is supposed to stay on the other side. I'm glad for those rules. Christians ought to be rulers. He talks about overcomers. I'll make a ruler. Jesus will rule with a rod of iron. In the body of Christ, prophecy, you got down his eyes, servings the feet, teachings the mouth, exhortings the shoulders, carrying a load, givers of the hands. But the administrator is sometimes the mind, the guy that can think that thing through. Again, that doesn't mean you're the boss, okay? If you're not the boss, the pastor is the one that's supposed to make the final call. But I tell our men, I don't know a lot of things. And there's you preachers here, again, you're going to be different. I can study some of this out, but there's tons of stuff that your pastor could do that I never could even begin to do. I'm not going to try. I'd fail at it. You got a pastor given to you as a shepherd. That's what the word means, is shepherd. The sheep don't take a vote where they go to pasture, do they? We're going to pasture. We're going to the 440 today. I think it's shearing time now. No, the shepherd decides that. The administrator aids the local church to prepare, define, and endeavors, and they enjoy providing support. This is what I like about a godly administrator. They enjoy providing support for the church leadership. That's the guy I got in my church. In fact, I don't know why he does. I think there's times I'm almost embarrassed that he looks to me so much for leadership, and it's embarrassing. It scares me as a preacher. There's times I look out a Sunday and I think I see families coming and think, man, these people are basing their home on what I'm going to say today. We have a church because this hatched in my mind to do this, but they're basing raising their kids on what I believe. They're basing their eternity on what I'm going to preach. Not their soul. I don't save anybody. But how they prepare for eternity, they're basing it on. It's a scary thing. It's a frightening thing to have that place of leadership. And when you have an administrator that is willing to submit to that and support that, like all of the gifts, like all of them, man, you can see some great things done. It's called faith. They enjoy providing support for the local leadership, encourage participation in the entire church and the entire church body. Why don't other people get involved in these things?
They have an ability to organize church campaigns and help them continue to run smoothly and effectively. And again, we don't have a big church. I'm not trying to tell you something I'm not trying to say, well, we've got all of our ducks in a row, but I am telling you that I'm glad that I see different ones in our church. I can say, I always thought, you know, it would be good to have a complete church, wouldn't it? Where you're doing, you're functioning, you're hitting all the cylinders.
Yeah.
You know, when you start your vehicle and you hear that fluttering noise and you think, man, something's not right. Something's missing. Time to tune up the engine. And I think a lot of churches they're fluttering. They're not running on all the cylinders. And it's not the preacher's fault. It's people's fault for not surrendering. Next page. Marks of the gift of administration. The good thing, the thumbs up guy, they visualize final results. But they can view people as tools. See, a prophet can do that too. That's why I say sometimes these gifts kind of dovetail and sometimes they kind of clash a little bit. But I would just say most of it is just common sense if you kind of think it through. An administrator needs confidence. They need a confidence in an associate, but they can build loyalty with dissenters too. They can build their own little kingdom. Ability to plan ahead, but using others to avoid work can be lazy. They can oppose change to task. The preacher may say, hey, how to change a plan? We're not going to do that. And the minister say, why not? This is what I come up with. Being uncaring to appeals. Make jobs look easy. Putting projects ahead of family needs. Alert to details. Overlooking workers' serious complaints. Some say, yeah, but you're working us to death. Some preachers are administrators, and I think they're the guys that are great. They're great organizers, man. They get stuff done. Complete task independently and fully. Fail to listen or care. Able to be harsh in decision making. They can be pretty brutal. Administrators usually are. Forcing decisions on others. Completion includes satisfaction, losing interest in their own job. A good example is Joseph. Real quick look at Genesis. I'm just going to look at a couple of these, but I'm trying to give you some that maybe are interesting, but maybe they're kind of little not so much known. Look at Genesis 47. Now you know Joseph, even as a kid, and I think he was Christ-like. So answer the question that some of you preachers, we were standing here talking, can you get more than one? Does God give us them? Do we give them to God? Do we get more of God? Do we get all of them? Well, I think Joseph had a lot of them, and I think he had them as a boy because he was so Christ-like. He really was, even as a boy. Joseph didn't have that much pride in him. And I've said that, I'm sure, from here. People say, well, Joseph, God had to knock the pride out of him. He did not. When he come back, said, well, he was a tattletale. I just got done preaching on a talebearer. A tattletale, or the Bible term, is a talebearer. You are bearing, you're carrying a tale. It means the word merchant. Back before TikTok and all these other things, I don't even know what those are. I know they're gossip sites.
Yeah.
They didn't have them back then. They had merchants. And the Bible, even the word Canaan and connected to the devil, he talks about him being a merchant and merchandise. And they were like traveling salesmen and they carried the rumors. And the Bible talks about it, merchants and merchandise. You say, what's the news over there? What's going on back over there? Oh, man, you wouldn't believe what we heard over here. And you're a tale bearer. And you're telling things that are none of your business. When I tell, if you see somebody harming a child and you go tell on them, are you a tattletale? I have ladies one time, ladies in the church, their kid will thump on somebody else and the kid says, your son was hitting me. Don't be a tattletale. Usually when a woman says that, your kid's the one that's guilty. Joseph wasn't a tattletale. It wasn't his tale. He brought unto his father their evil report. I think Jacob was scared of his boys. I really do. They were murderers. Two of those guys in and slaughtered a city. They were killers. Some people believe they literally were like hired guns, I said. You read about it. You study history at that time. And I did a lot of that study. And I tried to get a doctor's degree, but I just don't have time to finish it in archaeology. And I told you on that. I was over in Israel or Jordan digging where they think Sodom was. Had a heart attack a couple years ago. But man, you can learn some fantastic things just by studying even archaeology about your Bible. But I tell you, those guys like Jacob, I think he was afraid of his boys. You got 11. He even talked about some being. He said, "You guys are killers." He at the end of his life, you got 11 men that are vicious killers living in your house. I don't think Jacob knew how to handle them. And he said, Joseph, you go up there and deal with that. I think he pawned it off on Joseph. And he went up there, and they weren't where they were supposed to be. They were being disobedient. And he came back and he said, well, Dad, here's what they said. They said, you go back and tell the old man. We'll do what we want. He brought unto Jacob their evil report, not his evil report. Joseph was an administrator. His dad could trust him. That's why he gave him the coat of many colors. If you know the Jews, say that means he was in charge. He goes down to Potiphar's house and he sees God blesses him. He puts him in charge. He's an administrator. He's lied about by Potiphar's wife, and they throw him in jail. He puts him in prison. The prisoner puts him in charge. He's an administrator. He gets out of prison. He tells the story of the dream. The Pharaoh says, you're going to rule everybody. He's a ruler. I shouldn't probably take you to this just for time's sake, but look at Genesis 47. And he's kind of brutal. That's why people don't like the Jews. Somebody asked me a question on that, and that doesn't have to do with the gifts, but I like questions, and I'm not saying I got all the answers, but this is why some people don't like the Jews. They are running stuff. They are. Epstein, that's Jew. He's not a Chinaman. Harvey Weinstein, he's a Jew. Janet Yellen, she's a Jew. They're 1% of the population, but somehow they always are ahead of the Federal Reserve. How in the world's that happen? I said, Goldwyn, that ain't a Chinese name. It's a Jewish mayor of the Hollywood, is run by the Jews. The banks are run. And it used to bother me till when I heard one well-known preacher said the reason they run the world is they're supposed to. He did give the world to Abraham. They are going to inherit the earth. See, all the promises of the Jews are pretty much earthly. You're and mine, we're blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Real quick, this has nothing to do with the message. I just tell you, he's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You and I are the children of Abraham, not Isaac and Jacob. Isaac and Jacob is where the blessings came through. Isaac, not Ishmael, the Muslims. Jacob, Israel, not the Edomites, the Palestinians, Jews. But you aren't children. We don't get the physical blessings given to Isaac and Jacob as it was passed down the land. You and I get the promise of Abraham that was the Christ. Amen. We're children of Abraham. Yeah. And you see, everything in your Bible is spot on. Genesis 47, verse 13, there was no bread in all the land. The famine was very sore. All the land of Egypt, they came, they fainted by reason of the famine. Joseph gathered up all the money. Maybe that's what the Jews will do in the millennium, huh? When they're ruling, their Gentiles will come, and here's how the Bible said it. They'll suck at the breasts of the Jews. Their very sustenance will be coming from Israel. Jesus is a Jew, and he's going to sit on a Jewish throne. He said the 12 Jews, you 12, will sit on 12 thrones, ruling the 12 tribes of Israel, and those 12 tribes of Israel rule this world for 1,000 years. And there was no bread in all the land, for the famine was very sore. So the land of Egypt and all the land came to fainted by reason of the famine as Joseph gathered up all the money that was found in the land of Egypt. So first off, he takes their food. He's got control of the food. Then he gets control of the money. Joseph gathered up all the money. And Joseph brought the money into Pharaoh's house. And when the money failed, maybe that's going to happen here. In the land of Egypt, in the land of Canaan, all the Egyptians came to Joseph and said, give us bread that we should die. Should we die in thy presence? For the money faileth. And Joseph said, give of your cattle. Now Joseph, first off, he controls the food. Then he takes control of the money. Now he gets private property. Well, give me your cows then. No wonder the Egyptians hated him. Now he's got control of the private property. Verse number 17, they brought their cattle also unto Joseph, and Joseph gave them bread in exchange for horses and flocks and cattle and asses. And then it says in verse number 18, when the year was ended, they came to him a second year and said to him, we'll not hide it from my Lord how our money's gone. The Lord has made herds of cattle, but there's not, all we got is our bodies. So they basically said in verse 25, thou hast saved our lives. Let us find grace in the sight of my Lord, and we will be Pharaoh's servants. Now he takes control of their life. They're basically slaves of the Jews. So people don't like that, but God still came as the king of the Jews, and you and I tag in on that. Joshua was a ruler. I won't get into that. I'm going to hustle through, be done. Josiah, man, what a great little ruler he was. His dad, his grandpa was Manasseh. Manasseh dealt with demons and killed his own sons and burned them alive. Grandpa You love me? Well, you're next, buddy. How close do you think you would be to your grandpa if he burnt your uncles in the fire? Amnon was his dad. He ruled 2 years, and he got a little 8-year-old boy. Again, I've told this often. They got so far from God, they lost the Bible. Can you believe that? The Jews lost the Bible. That's why I'm not defeated on our land. We can still have revival. Your understanding of revival is probably mixed up. You think revival is going to sweep the land. When Josiah had revival, when he died, it was as wicked as it ever was. That's how fast revival comes, and that's how fast revival goes.
That's right.
They lost the Bible. In fact, this little guy was 8. I think he watched Grandpa Manasseh. He watched his dad. He had some preachers. He had a preacher by the name of Hilkiah, who was Jeremiah's dad, the high priest. And he said, go clean out the house of God. And they got to clean, and you know how the preachers, man, we always got to clean the church out. I don't know where, it's like, I think it's producing trash. Preachers, you know that? Do you have that? My church produces it. People bring stuff. They're old Christmas trees. Or broken refrigerator. Sometimes I'll come in, it burns me up. I come there, somebody's got a refrigerator sitting at the back door that don't work. You know, what the world? They bring clothes and suits. Nobody wants them. And then you collect stuff. Old chairs and Methuselah had, you know. And just got to haul it off. Say, haul off trash. And they come across the book. What is this? And there was not even a preacher. There was a woman preacher. She was a prophetess. That's why I had her name when we looked at prophets. Prophetess doesn't mean you're a boss or anything like that. It's somebody who could share the word of God. And thank God she could. I think I've got as an administrator. I got Deborah down here. She judged Israel. But she did it in a balanced fashion. She told Balak, she said, well, God's called you. She didn't take the place of leadership. That's why I said it's hard for a woman to be an administrator. It is hard. Because, you got a fine line to dance. We support a missionary. They're called the Holmeses. And they're in their late 80s and they got terrible health problems. But man, they got a work that just set on fire in Thailand. I mean, they got prison ministries. I've told you this. The one book I was reading is the most Banquai, the Big Tiger, worst prison in the world. And I said, are we going to go to that one? They said, you were in it yesterday. And I mean, they go into these prisons and there'll be screens and you're yelling. They're answering. They've got chaplains in the prisons. It's a death sentence to be a drug dealer there. And they're yelling questions. What about angels? What about angels? Are there old angels? And you're yelling. Everybody's yelling and screaming. And they have a ministry to these prisons. And they deal with the big ears and the long necks. And really the lady that's doing it is the wife. She's a Priscilla. And they took my wife and up into the high country and where they had, I think it's the Lamai people, and they had the pastors get together and meet, and it was kind of neat to see, because that's why I tell you, missions, you see the church come alive. And I saw Mrs. Holmes. She was sitting in the adjoining church area. The preachers were meeting over here, and she was just sitting there with her Bible. And I was thinking, she's there if they got a question. She's not bossing. She's an Aquila, Priscilla relationship. She's there, but she's not bossy. But just humble. Those prisoners, they teach them, and then those prisoners go around the world because everybody goes to Thailand for drugs. And if they get out, then they take the gospel and they minister to the mountain people, and they got churches and Bible college. It's just a phenomenal thing. And I think our gift's administration. I remember one night sitting there and watching her in the home, and there was a lady in the church trying to start a business. I don't know what it was. I think it had to do with cloth. And Mrs. Holmes, she was organizing, telling her, had the table laid out and papers laid out and some of the cloth. And she was telling this lady how to lay her business out. Ladies can be a big help. It's tough. But man, you can still get a lot done. Man, I tell you, she's going to get rewarded in heaven. There's Joshua, there's Deborah, little Josiah, Nehemiah. Man, what a leader he was. Yeah. Volunteer for Jesus, a soldier true. Yeah. He said, I was a cupbearer. And he said, I asked, what's the news over in Jerusalem? And they said, man, the walls are tore down. It's a mess. And I like, he said, he asked concerning the Jews that escaped. He'd be like somebody in the Holocaust, in a Holocaust prison saying, what's the news? What's going on? Are they going to get us out of here anytime soon? They told Jeremiah or Nehemiah some absolute mess. And he said, so I sat down and wept and volunteered. Came back, built the walls first. Then Ezra volunteered and they went back and built the temple. Excuse me, I'll say it the other way around. Ezra's first built the temple and then the walls. Temple's more important. Then the walls came. Great, great leader. But I've told you this. He was a rough administrator. And I know I've told you most all, maybe all of you heard this. He said, they were doing some things they shouldn't do. And one time he got mad at them. For one thing, they were letting their kids marry lost girls. And he said, I got angry. He said, and then I contended with them and smote certain of them and plucked off their hair. How would you like a preacher to give you a haircut the hard way? And I made them promise they'd not give their daughters these lost boys. But it literally says, I continued. That means I smote certain of them and I continued. Put them in a headlock. Are you going to let your daughter marry that boy? No, preacher. As you say, my preacher is hard, really? Or are you just a sissy?
Come on.
Virtuous woman, man. She was a leader. She considereth the field and buyeth it. She knows her merchandise is good. She's buying and selling products. She's buying land. My wife's good at some of this. Now, she's not an administrator. But if it wasn't for my wife, I'd be living in a tin can. She likes it. I hate it. I'll make the call. Say, hey, your wife's bossy. Nah, she's not. I said, I wish you'd tell my mother-in-law that. She thinks I'm too bossy. My wife likes it. She's right now, she'll get on the phone, and she's done this before. She's done a couple times for us. She'll figure out prices of the lights, and she'll organize, hey, the guy's coming to pour the concrete for the, dropping the concrete cistern off. She does all that, and there's nothing wrong with that. Virtuous woman did that. She considereth the field and buyeth it. But you ladies, there's got to balance. Real quick, Nicodemus there at the top, ruler of the Jews, Luke, great administrator, James, preacher, Epaphras. Negative examples, Jethro. He's kind of a bad administrator. You can debate that the Midianites ended up causing the whole lot of problems for the Jews. Saul was a bad administrator. He took control, but that rascal, like one time he had 3,000 soldiers, so he took 2,000, gave Jonathan 1,000. So he's already stacking the deck his way. And he just sits there, and Jonathan don't like it, and he said, well, man, the enemy's right over there, and you can go, remember where Jonathan and his armor bearer walked up, climbed up that hill? I know right where that hill is. Next time I go, I'm going to try to scale it. You can look at it, you can see unbelievable stuff with Google. He didn't come up the pass. The Bible talks about the pass of Michmash. And Jonathan, his armor bearer, said, well, man, time's a wasting. And so him and his armor bearer went down that valley, and there's two cliffs. Bozes is the name of one. I'm trying to think of the other one. It starts with an S. And they even named them. They're pretty famous cliffs. And they climbed up and killed those guys. And the Philistines got scared. They thought they were being invaded. And Saul is way back over here in a town called Gibeah, and he sees the enemy going and said, hey, let's go. And so he claims the victory, that rat. And he almost killed Jonathan over. He was a bad administrator. When things went wrong, you know, he blamed the people. He kept saying, you check it out. He said, well, the people did. You know the people. They're rebellious, and they made me do it. He's a bad administrator. Miriam, she was a rebel. Her rebellion inspired others. Korah to rebel. The chief women, ladies, you ought to read this. There are chief women and honorable women. You can either be a great help to the ministry or a great hindrance. And both were to Paul. Sometimes the chief women would cause trouble. They would just get the whole town stirred up and they'd want to kill Paul. And there was other times it was chief and honorable ladies that helped Paul in the ministry. And there's ladies here that God could use you in unbelievable ways to further the ministry of the church that you're in. Minors with mannerisms, they take control of activities and games. They determine the rules. They can work well by themselves. Number two, goal-oriented. Three, they have a wide range of abilities and interest in how things work. Man, I didn't understand what an engineer was. I'm not talking about train with choo-choo engineer. Man, engineers, I don't know where I was on this. Some of these, I didn't understand. There are some men that their job is an engineer and they fix everything. If you need a bolt, they'll figure out how to make that bolt. If you need to figure this out here, what that structure is, they will draw it out. Some engineer guys, they just have an ability to do that. Man, you could use that for the church, man. Number four, they can become upset and worried by delays. Five, they're respected by peers. On the back, I'll run through these here. If you're an administrator gift and you're after the Spirit, you'll be systematic. Joseph was very systematic, but he ended up controlling their life. He took their food, he took their money, he took their property, he took their land, he took their very life. Systematic, number two, is unorganized. Saul really wasn't very good at that at times. He was an administrator. At times he'd say, hey, I want 10,000 guys over here. But it was kind of, because he was carnal, he'd get sidetracked. I got to go kill Jacob today. Or David. I got to go hunt David. Number two is faithful on the left. Joshua. Untrustworthy. Jethro. Untrustworthy. Number three, dedicated. Nehemiah. Indifferent. Saul. Reliable, Joshua. Irresponsible, Saul. Cordial, Deborah. She told Barak, you're to do this. He said, well, I will if you'll go with me. She said, okay, then you're not going to get the victory. A woman will get it. She's trying to rebuke him. He's saying, you ought to take the place of leadership. Cordial, she was kind about it. Deborah, domineering, Miriam. You're not the only boss around here, Moses. Assertive, Nehemiah. Complacent, Saul. Assertive and complacent. Persuasive, Joshua. Passive, you put anybody in there. Sensible, Joseph. Josiah was very sensible. Quarrelsome. You know what Miriam means? You know what Mary means? Mary is the Hebrew, would be the equivalent of the Hebrew. Miriam means rebel. A rebel. That's what Mary's name means. Joshua, determined, little old Josiah, detached Saul, detached. Their weakness is becoming unsympathetic and indifferent. It's easy for you to look at the figures instead of people. Major potential abuse, choosing to live by dangerous philosophy that the end justifies the means. See, again, a prophet will say, the Bible says, exhorter said, yeah, but this is what works. A giver says, this is what we need to do, money. And an administrator said, I don't care, but this is what needs to be done. And if it hair lips them, I don't care. This needs to be done. This may cause them to overlook serious character flaws in those they choose to help reach a particular goal. Now again, I'll be honest with you. Now this is stuff I've just put together. If you get on the internet, if it's a pretty solid, and I'm not recommending you do, there's too much good stuff. There's too many verses on these other things for you to study out. But you'll see these different things, different groups, and this is just something I've collected from a lot of different places. But you can do the same thing. He is single-minded and determined and focused and goal-oriented. Nehemiah was focused, was he not? They kind of tried to tell him, come down to the plain of Ono, and he said, oh no, there ain't no way. We're not going to do it. Well, we're going to kill you. Then get a sword and get a trowel. You talk about being focused. You can do that with that whole list there. You can plug those names in. All right, Brother Joel, I'm finished there.
Amen. Wonderful. Everybody hungry? Yeah. I clear your area, clear away your spiritual bread. We'll put some physical food. All right, Mrs. Haynes, whisper in my ear and then I'll verbalize it like I'm in charge.
What's the first step?